Okay, we are up to Perek Shvi'i here in the Alishor Shar Shlishi. And the last few prakim have been all about self-exploration and all about these four different aspects of the personality and how we can kind of really get to know ourselves. This seems to be the key in the Alishor model and conception of Avodas Hashem and Musar, is to really be aware of oneself and to be aware of all the potential, again, potential pitfalls, but also the potential to overcome those. So, nowadays, I think like in universities and in other places, you have to give trigger warnings. So, I want everyone to know that if you stay, this is a really heavy chapter. It's not as light and as uplifting as some of the other ones. And that's exactly.
I know myself.
Okay, that's exactly the point. We have to be, I guess, honest about that and embracing with that. So again, I think I may have mentioned even when we started the series that part of what attracted me the first time I ever learned even part of the Sefer when I was 19 years old was that unlike the doom and gloom of a typical Musar Sefer, this seemed to be more not only contemporary but positive and uplifting. But every now and then he reminds you it is still a Musar Sefer. Or at least acknowledging that, and I think that's part of this. So take a look at the beginning. We're on Kuf Pei Dalid, Perek Shvi'i. Adko, Matzanu Derech Yishara Le'Aliyah Be'ezrat Hashem. So if we would follow the roadmap of this whole section of the book, we have found a path to growth. Achikvar Hirgashnu Ki Iganu El Atzmeinu. And if we really would follow this, and as he says, there's no point in just reading these words or learning or coming to a shir. The point is for us to think about them and try to incorporate them in our lives and see ourselves in them. But if we would do that, hamevin yavin ki shlavei haliyah ad kol lo haya gvoy mikedai di shigam anachnu b'dareinu gam nuchal lasot behem. And again, I think this is in many ways captures the attraction of the whole book, is that he is talking in a way, in a language, giving us insights which we don't feel are above us, they're not beyond us. If you follow everything we've been doing the last few weeks, it says you feel like, I got a strategy and it's doable. This is not like, oh, this is just for the spiritual giants of yesteryear. I could do this. But and here's the pivot for the rest of the day. Ach, od achzava achat tzvuya. There's yet one more disappointment that's still lying in wait for us. For someone who thinks, oh yeah, now that I understand myself, and he explained to us four different parts of the personality and all that stuff, now I'm ready to go. It's an easy path to greatness, to success. Says Revolbi, Derech Aliyah, She Itvinu Mogiltenu Ata El Pnei Atahom. The more you know yourself, the more you see that you are going in a place that is not always so great. That the more you've looked inside yourself, you may not always be so happy with what you saw. On the other hand, ulam, hamit alei mi tohomot hatmonim bekirbeinu, ein ben aliyah amiti. On the other hand, if you look away from the more distressing things that are lurking inside, then obviously you're not on a growth trajectory either, right? You have to be honest. If you're not honest about yourself, you give yourself a fake, the doctor can tell you what you want to hear. That doesn't mean it's a good diagnosis. You may not want to hear that you have heart disease, but that doesn't help you. It helps you for about 10 seconds, but the rest of it is all bad. Similar here spiritually, if you're doing an x-ray and an MRI and getting to know yourself, so on the one hand, yes, it may not be as, he broke it down in ways that are not as intimidating in terms of really being able to grow. We're not talking about mystical secrets and incantations. It's not that kind of approach at all. At the same time, if we really do some self-exploration, we have to be honest, we're not always going to love everything that we have found. Skip to the next paragraph below. Shilton Hayetzer v'hadimayon. If you remember, again, before we got into the whole four parts, those were the chapters he was talking about until now. That the two main things he had been talking about before that, which is what he called Shilton Hayetzer and Dimayon. Shilton Hayetzer is just the urge, the desire for things, and that can control us. And Dimayon is fantasies, right? He Revolbi, we remarked then. This is going back already a few months. How he intuitively seemed to be very understanding of the world of marketing and Madison Avenue and how the whole world is selling fantasy and not just desire, but the imagination and the fantasy that creates. So in light of that, heim heim ha-tohomot shebekirbeinu. It's really these things which are those abysmal, deep things, dark things inside of us. And the truth is, he says, that we have to realize that we can't have a small or narrow approach. We have to have a broader and more holistic approach. Yes, achein, kochot tohomim mishtolim bekirbeinu. All of us have to realize there are some dark things inside each and every one of us. We have to, you know, disavow ourselves, disabuse ourselves of this much more infantilized, babyish, immature, narrow, small view of ourselves that does not, in fact, encompass the broadness and the bigness of who we are, which on the one hand, Mutrash Biboro Mitzadachad. Yes, it's true that there's a part of us. We have a neshama, which is very much connected to very high, elevated, good things. And at the same time, Asher Tohomot Poarim Bekirbo Mitzadacher. At the very same time, we are also attached to some deep and dark and much less impressive things. Says Ravobi, and this is really a very important paragraph, Kochot Tohomim Heim, these darker impulses and desires that we have, ki asechel amnam makirotam v'yored l'sof omek v'hem. On the one hand, if we really do the work and we think about them, we can identify them, we can recognize them. Aval nilal lahavinotam, but we actually don't understand them. L'shilton hayetzer l'olam hadimayon ein ofi sechli. This is a very, very profound insight, I think. It says these parts of us, they're not rational, as he's going to explain in depth in the next paragraph. They're not rational, and therefore, even if we can identify them, there's a part of us that we're never going to understand. We don't understand these things because they're actually not meant to be understood in the sense that they're not actually rational things. They have their own way. They have their own internal logic or system. Mahuchi chutz migidrei asechel, or as he says in parentheses, irrationali v'laz. They're irrational. There's parts of us that have. The next paragraph he's going to give quite a few examples, five or six examples, in very moderate ways. If we only had a moderate interest in X or Y, that might be somewhat rational. But he says if we're really honest with ourselves, we actually have impulses which are much more extreme, and they actually don't make any sense. So, for example, and this is part of the challenge. On the one hand, to be aware of them, but then to realize that we actually can't truly understand even ourselves. So he says, look at the next paragraph where he's going to give quite a few examples. We won't do most of this inside, but we'll hit all the points here. He says, Kevin she'elehem kochot al-sechliim. Since these things I'm describing, he says, are above, beyond logic, they're not really rational. Anu tmehim u'mishtomimim birtzoteinu laredet l'omkam u'menasim laterotam. It becomes very hard, scary, confusing, when we try to really identify them. And he gives quite a few examples. So the first example he gives is kas, right? So again, there could be all sorts of moderately, it may not be good, it may not be right, but not every time a person would get angry would be really irrational, right? He says, but the truth is because if we really go deep down inside of us is a incredibly powerful chifetz az to be angry, to this point that we can, really, 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 when we have the ability to be so angry at a person, we actually wish they would die. That's how angry we are at that person. They mean nothing to us. Or another example, gaiva v'kavod. Again, everyone has these things a little bit. We even recognize that. When we really think about it, if we could really think about it, we realize that actually our desires for honor, our ego, are so exclusive that we really, really think we deserve everything. Not just a little bit. Everything. Not just, you know, on the surface level we think, why can't I be, I'm already skipping one of the bottom ones he talks about is jealousy. But some maybe combining jealousy and gaiva. But, you know, it's like, on one hand, you could be aware of, if you're being honest with yourselves, I think I'm better than Plony, and yet he has a big car. Or jealous of Plony, because he has the better car than me. Right? So that's not a healthy thing, it's not a good thing, it's something to be proud of. But I don't think that's yet irrational. His point is that if we really, really get in touch with ourselves, there is something lurking inside of us that's much more extreme than that. We don't just think we deserve to be as wealthy as the neighbor. We think we should deserve to be as wealthy as Mark Zuckerberg. What is Elon Musk better than me? Why does he have 80 billion? I don't even know what he has. Did I just make him very poor? Only 80 billion? Right? He's much more than 80 billion, right? 200 billion, whatever he has. 400 billion. I can't keep track. Anyway, or next line, another example. Kfiat Tov, right? To be ungrateful, to be an ingrate. He says we have an extreme version of this inside of us, which thinks no one's ever done anything good for us. We don't owe anybody any gratitude because no one's done anything good for us. Or, again, a few lines later, he gets into the kinnah, which I already mentioned. As he puts it, a chukah mistorit, a mysterious desire where, in a certain sense, we actually wish we could be somebody else. Which is like the weirdest thing, but yet. Right? Okay. He's not into that. At least he hasn't ever mentioned that. Achzariyut. Again, he talks about how We have extreme parts of our personality can be extremely cruel. And of course, taiva. Again, not just a little bit to dip our toe into some illicit water. But there's parts of us that imagine all sorts of stuff, right? Which we would be ashamed, you know, to acknowledge, let alone if anyone else knows. Not just the usual desires. We all have dark desires. Koach amri, get all these examples. And therefore, he says, now we're on the next page. Hakerna ata hama'ayin beprakim eilab atzmacha. You have to acknowledge, once you go down this road of learning who you are, you're going to see everything. Ba'atzmacha et kochot ha'tohomim ha'eila asher mi'mahutam zarim heim l'sichlacha. Right? And the truth of the matter is, they don't make any sense. Like if when you zoom back out, and you think about it, or you just would talk about, who is this person who thinks X or Y, or who really would want X or Y? They don't make any sense. They're not even rational. And that's exactly the point. And we have to be acknowledged, acknowledge this, as he says two lines later. Naskila na lahavin. We have to become educated to understand. All this good work that we're doing does not allow us to avoid this. It's not like some bridge that we can avoid or... You have to go through this. You can't go around this. You have to be able to get in touch with this and be honest about it. And he puts... Now, until now, I'd say all of this has been, you know, you were warned. One big, kind of depressing, very, very heavy, very atypical for the book that we've been learning now for 2.5 years. This is not a typical chapter at all. This is much more heavy, negative, old school Musar, so to speak, in many ways. Very modern Hebrew, very modern language, but old school. But in order to put some perspective on it, and I think in this case, at least for me, when I was learning this parak, make it a little bit more positive and give me a little hope, is a paragraph he comes from the next chapter, which is really the next paragraph, which is a quote from the Chovas HaLevavos. And that's really the pivot till the end of what we'll do today. So the Chovas HaLevavos, this is in a chapter that's not so well known and it's not so studied, called the Shar HaYichud HaMaisa. So that's I have like an old school 2-volume Chovas HaLevavos. It's the first section of the second volume. But be that as it may, I never learned it myself either until I looked at this piece. And also, even again, whoever, if anyone's ever studied Chovas HaLevavos, first of all, it's an extreme sefer, very extreme. But also, the Hebrew there, it's not modern Hebrew by definition, but it's very hard Hebrew, very hard Hebrew. So, now, I got a translation that was made, I don't know, 30 or 40 years ago. The translations are hard too. I think there's more recent translations which are much better. But anyway, so take a look at this quote from the Chovas HaLevavos. Ben Adam, Ro'i L'chaladas, he says, dear person, dear reader, you need to know something. Ki asone ha-gadol sheyesh lo ba'olam. Who is your greatest enemy? Who hates you more than anybody else in the world? Who's out to harm you more than anyone else in the world? Who yitzracha? It's something inside of you. Right? We are our own worst enemy. No one will hurt us as much as we will self-sabotage. That is the basic. Now, why is that the case? And he explains. Hanimsach b'kokot nafshecha. This yetzer, to do all sorts of bad things or to self-sabotage, it's interwoven in all of our kokot. Hamu'urav b'mezek ruchacha. It is, you know, mixed into our personality everywhere. Hamishtatef imcha b'hanhagas chushcha hagufaniim baruchaniim. It is a partner in all of our senses, whether they're physical or spiritual. Hamoshel b'sodos nafshecha v'tzafun, etc. Ba'al eitzcha b'chol tunasecha hanorot hanistarot chetiyena b'ritzoncha. Anything you do, you're thinking, you're wanting, the Yetzer Hara is there all the time. Ha'orev lefatot psiutcha, lying in wait to, you know, seduce us and to mess us up in any step we take. Ata yashein lo, you are, so to speak, unaware of him. You are sleeping, so to speak, on him. Hu ar lecha, but he is very wide awake, looking to pounce on you. Ata mit'alei mimenu, you may be looking away from him, you may be ignoring him, but trust me, hu eino mit'alei mimcha, he is not looking away from you. Lavash lecha bigdei yedidut, and this is perhaps the scariest part, or the most important part. The Yetzer Hara doesn't, you know, give you, give a very dark extreme mashal, but I think it really is apropos. Many experts have made the point, and because of them, I sometimes have made the point to parents or people, when we think about child safety. So I at least grew up in a generation, I think, where subconsciously you knew that there were some creepy people out there. But who was the danger to kids? Some guy, you know, lurking around the park in a long trench coat, maybe hadn't showered in a few days.
Stranger danger.
Yeah, and, but not just strangers, but also like they looked the part. And what we, of course, now know is that that is a fraction, sheba fraction, a teeny percent of harm comes from complete strangers, and especially people who obviously look not like you'd want to be hanging out with them. It's much more, no, the person who gave you the lollipop, your best friend. I'm not even discussing the fact that it could be a family member or a but trusted people, people who just look like they should be trusted, etc. So, Al-Darach Mashal, that's exactly what the Chavos Lev is saying. That's the Yetzirah. He actually clothes himself, lavash lecha bigdei yedidut. He comes off as your friend. He doesn't say to you, put your dukes up. We're going to fight. You have to decide whether you're going to Minyan or not. And I'm going to tell you, oh no, I'm going to come at you like a Yetzirah, and I'm going to tell you all the reasons why not to. No, he comes to you as your friend. You're going to be so much more productive if you stay a little bit more in bed. It's better for you in the long run. You know, you deserve whatever. You're going to, you know, it'll, if you keep on going to Minyan every day, you're going to burn out. You need a break. All sorts of, it doesn't come at you as an enemy, it comes at you as a friend. All these things. He shows off as if he loves you. You know, he comes off as giving you one of your part of your counselors. Skulat ohavecha, ratzal ritzoncha, kanira mirozav vekitzotav. As if he's, you know, giving signs and gestures, as if he wants what's good for you. And really, 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 humora otcha bechitzav hamamitim l'sharshecha meretz chayim. He's shooting deadly arrows at you, which will remove you from the land of the living. Right? Now, that's a Chavos HaLevavos. Okay, this type of heavy talk is what we're used to from the Chavos HaLevavos. It's not as much, usually not like Shor. But okay, sometimes you got to go there. So now says Rav Ali Shor, though. But now if we pick it up, we put it all together, now we actually have not only insight, but we have balance here. That is to say, look, this is very, maybe the most important paragraph of the whole chapter. It says Rav Ali Shor, next line. Rak, now, and that's the end of the quote of the Chavos HaLevavos. Says Revolbi, Rak Achshav, so now, we put it all together, what we were doing all the way until now, and now what we've been seeing more recently, we can now understand mankind, man, in all of their depth and complexity. Mizug mushlam, bein ruach v'guf, bein tov v'ra. We have to be honest that we are, in a certain sense, a perfect balance between physical and spiritual, between good and bad. And yes, at the same time, sharashav be'elokut, mitzad yachaso al baro. There's a part of us, a part of our soul, a part of our foundation, which is innately related to spirituality, to Hashem, and yet at the same time, betuma v'sitra achra mitzad dveikut habara. We are a complex cocktail, equal parts desiring of good, equal parts desiring of bad. And he points out, the next paragraph is all one big parenthesis, but I think it's important. He says, this is basically the basis of everything in this world, of Bechira Chofshis, of reward and punishment. As the, you know, this was, I was expecting, the whole time I'm waiting here for him to make this line, and now he did it. He quotes it from Qelis. Gamet ze l'umat ze asa Elokim. Everything's in proportion. Right, if we were all good, then what would be the point of reward and punishment? There would be no challenge. And if we're all bad, then we have no hope either. No, God made the world in proportion. Now, he doesn't quote it, but this is reminiscent of, by the way, the idea which we have. We discussed this a little bit in the Rav Tzadok Chassidus Chavura about the idea that God Gadol Mechavero, Yitzro Mechavero, right? The greater the person, the greater the Yitzhara. You know, whatever exactly that means, which I always say cannot be imagined, you know, I think in a simplistic way. I don't think that whatever desire I have for something illicit, or Moshe Feinstein spent the day battling it more. It just doesn't make sense on a superficial level. But on a deeper level, it's exactly what it means. You can't have one without the other. If Moshe Feinstein, or pick whoever you want to insert, only had these, you know, just want to be tzaddik all day, what would be the point? There has to have been something inside of him that, had he chosen differently, wouldn't have just been bad. It would have been really, really bad. Because that's what made his life worth living. That's what makes his accomplishments actually worthy of admiration. And that, again, that goes back to Qelis. If you skip down to the second half of the paragraph, Kish'anu mavchinim bekirbeinu yitzarim v'dimyonot she'en lahem kol ofi sechli. So now let's tie this together. So what we recognize inside of ourselves, these desires, these fantasies, the minor fantasies, but they don't make any sense if we really think about it. This is ridiculous. And yet, we do follow them. We do run after them. You have to realize that's, again, he's not excusing it or trying to make us, but we have to be able to know how to process it. We have to realize that there are, you know, he's speaking very almost granularly. You can almost touch it, he basically is saying. There are different forces inside of us. And sometimes the good ones get a hold of us and we ride that wave. And sometimes, for whatever reason, the other one gets a hold of us. And we sometimes think back, like, why would I have done that? Right? I think everyone's had that, you know, it's not just that we regret having done it because it got us in trouble. It's the, you think about it afterwards, like, it makes no sense. Again, a simple mushal, which many of us, certainly me, fall prey to, just in a less heavy, you know, no pun intended, would be dieting or weight or, you know, eat control with the food, right? Or the donut or whatever it is, right? Now that they put calories in everything, they've ruined it, right? For us, you can't even enjoy it for the 30 seconds because they let you, right? So, you know, this donut or this, you know, I used to think we go to Dunkin' Donuts, you know, oh, but the muffins, that's healthier. That's not a donut. There's no icing on the muffin. Then they put the calories on it. The muffins have like twice as many calories as a donut. So you'll say, okay, but it's okay because I'm going to exercise later. You have to run like 20 miles, like for 7 hours to get rid of one muffin. Just from a strict calorie perspective.
So a donut is half of that.
Exactly. So there you go. But not 6 donuts, Michael. But the point is, if you, so you know, at the end of the week, at the end of the month, end of the year, whatever it is, you don't like how you feel, you don't like the way you look. Was it worth it for the 3 seconds for the donut? Of course it's not worth it. Not worth it at all. But so it's not just that we regret what we did. It doesn't even make any sense. But there's a part of us that is irrational. That's what I was saying. It's not just that we have rational desires for wrong things. There's an irrational part of us. If we don't name the monster, we have no chance of taming it. And that's what he's trying to do here. He ends with, and this will we'll finish in a few minutes, a Gemara. He says, really, it all goes back to a Gemara. The Gemara makes two different points, and if we read the Gemara carefully, we appreciate it. There's a Gemara in Kiddushin that tells us that the Yetzirah is so bad that even its creator, i.e. God, calls it bad. Okay, fine. But the main point is what comes next. Amar of Yitzhak. Yitzhar shal Adam, mischadesh alav b'chal yom. A person's Yetzirah renews itself every day. Every day, as if it's a new Yetzirah, from new. The Yetzirah doesn't get tired. It goes to sleep at night and gets totally rejuvenated. Next line, another line from, I guess it's Shem ben Lakish maybe. Yitzhar shal Adam, miskaber alav b'chal yom, muvakesh hemiso. The Yetzirah gets stronger every day and wants to kill you. Now, when you just read this Gemara quickly, or you're just going to do in Daf Yomi, they kind of just seem like redundant, synonymous statements. It says Rabbi, they're not the same, and this is what we finish with. Bottom of the page. Hayetzer mischadesh b'chol yom. The first line is that, said Rabbi Yitzchak, the Yetzer is renewed each day. That is to say, koach ha-dimayon ha-mamtzi lano dimyonot chadashim mideyom biyomo. Every day there are new fantasies. V'chol ha-olam ratz achrei ha-chadashot ba-ofana ve-ta'amula ve-hasensiyot ha-mitchadashot chadashim levakarim. That is to say, because everything is new, we get excited by this propaganda. I had to look up that word, ta'amula. Propaganda, which attacks all of our sensations, sensiyot, with these new fantasies that are touching us or scratching an itch in different ways. And it happens all the time. You don't realize it's one big Truman Show. You're living in this world of fantasy. Fantasizing about other people's families, they have it better. Fantasizing about other people's vacations, their cars, their houses, their marriages, their bank accounts. It's all one big fantasy. We make all these decisions running after this imagined fantasy world. That's one dimension of the Yetzirah. Ulam, but there's another one. Hayetzirah mitgaber. Not that it's renewed, but it gets strengthened. What does that refer to? Eino ba mitam shel chiddush. It's not the new thing. Yesterday you thought about the car. Tomorrow you think about the house. No, not that. Ela b'koach ha-hitgabrut greida. No, it's the same thing. But it's compound interest. It grows. It gets stronger and stronger until we can't turn away. U'machriach ha-adam l'tzayislo. Eventually it makes us listen to it. Kam kish ha-adam atzmo soleid u'bochel mimenu kvar. And this is the point. This is the irrational part. It is so relentless that we can't, at some point we give into it, even though we're already disgusted by it. Even though we're already nauseous and queasy from it. Again, this is, you know, if you've ever been to a kosher program in any hotel, and you go back time X to the buffet line, even though you're full, even though you're nauseous, but something's pulling you back. So that is a perfect metaphor for life, he says. The Yetzer, in many other areas that are much less obvious, that the Yetzer is mitkaber. You're doing things, they don't even bring you real pleasure anymore. And yet somehow they became something you can't turn away from. Shilton ha-yetzer eino marpeh menu. It never lets go, never gets easier, never loosens up. And it's trying to ruin us spiritually. Yet Ya'esha Adam wants us to give up. To give up. This is who I am. I can't help it. I can't get any better. I'm too old. I'm too this. I'm too that. There's no hope for me. I only have this much. It wants people to live simple lives, weaken our amunah, all these things to make us. Anyway, now that I left you on that happy note, the cliffhanger is that next week, he says, we start off with the end of the Gemara. El Mele HaKadosh Baruch Hu Ozro. So how do we then pivot to try to help defeat these twin Yetzer Mitkaber, Yetzer Mitchadesh? And again, the full package, which is not pleasant, but this is he feels is so essential, is if the key to being great and growing is knowing all the good things inside of us, it doesn't come without making an honest appraisal of the fact that there are dark things inside of us also. And now we need to figure out how to deal with them. Good job.